We are here on the Lord's Day and together, and you are here, and that's a good thing. I do want to, before I get into, if you do have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. And before I jump in there, I just want to give you a heads up real quick. Election is Tuesday. Do what you got to do. But I want you to remember this. Men have rose, and then they go. Sometimes it's for a certain term of a few years. Sometimes it's for many, many years. And you'll see that supposed to be godly men did not act godly in the book of Kings, 2 Kings. And some did, some didn't. And then you look into Daniel and you'll see in there there's a bunch of ungodly kings. But they only had a span for a short time. There's only one true king, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, and He will never be dethroned. Somebody tried that once. It didn't work, because there is only one King. Amen? Amen. So if you're fretting and you're nervous over the election, listen. Just ask the Lord to give you peace over it. The Bible says He gives us a peace that is just overwhelming, but it only comes from Him. All right? Listen. If you're a believer today and you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you are saved, you have that and you are a true Christian and you have Christ inside of you, let me tell you, you're a winner already, all right? You're part of the family of God. You're a winner already, all right? It's all good. It's all good. Amen? Amen? We do need to pray, but just realize, well, there's only one. You take your eyes off Him, you'll start falling apart, all right? So I'm going to share with you today a little bit from Luke chapter 15. Jesus has some people gathering Him around Him. And this is not usually if you have a party or you have something, you gather people that are like-minded. You have a gathering and you're all, wherever you work at, it's like-minded people, your neighborhood like-minded. But this is not a very like-minded crowd is what we see. We see here in verse 1, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, what we have here is we have pluses and negatives. We have letters and alphabet. We just have all kinds of different types of people coming in. Sinners. Always throw tax collectors in there. Sinners. That means language. They don't live like believers. And that's what the teachers there were complaining about. Why do you eat with them? Why do you eat with them? I'll tell you, because the reason they asked that is because when you eat with when the Jewish people would eat together, that means you were accepted into that. You were accepted into that group. You were accepted into that. And Jesus was eating with them, and under that culture, it was that Jesus was accepting them, and they just couldn't get that wrapped around their head. They just couldn't get it wrapped around their head, because we're Pharisees, we're scribes, we're Sadducees, we're all these special people. We should be the ones sitting here. And so Jesus is going to share with them this parable, this story, so they would catch it and they would get it. And of course, in the room, that there are people that are not believers. And in as many as we have here today, there's probably someone here or two that do not believe in Jesus Christ either. But if we had a meal out here, which I've been really wanting to, we would have a chair for them and invite them as well. But they didn't like this. So Jesus is going to tell a couple of parables that they might understand. Now let's go through the first one. He says, so He told them this parable in verse 3. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friend and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance. Let me just tell you real quick. When you confess your sin to Christ, you're asking Christ to forgive you of your sins. But repentance means to turn away from it. So the apologetic part is good, but it's not the whole thing. We have to turn from it. Okay? We have to turn from it. But he uses this analogy of shepherds. And one thing about shepherds knows their flock. They know their flock, and their flock knows the shepherd's voice. Okay? There are a lot of people in this group that know about God. And these scribes would say, yeah, I'm one of them. The Pharisees would say, I'm one of them too. But the sinners would say, yeah, I know about God too, but they are actually, they're lost. You see, just because you pick a Bible up and read it doesn't mean that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you're part of the family of God. Many people believe that God is real, but they've never made that part in their life where they've allowed him to become God of their life. And so the shepherd goes out and he finds and he comes back and he's excited that he found one. You know, when someone comes to Christ, that is an amazing thing. I hope that you have come to Christ into your life. And I want to give you a part where you can say there's a testimony about you. You can give the testimony about when you came to Christ, and that's an exciting thing. But these scriptures says that there is a celebration in heaven. I bet it's beyond what we could ever celebrate and how we can celebrate. But they celebrate because someone was lost and now has been saved by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's a great celebration in heaven when one person comes to Christ. But now maybe not everybody understood that parable. So he moves on down here, and this one's a little different. It's same with the same meaning, but for certain people in this crowd, they're going to catch this one. Verse 8, or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found that silver coin I lost. I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. And we might think, what is that all about? Well, let me tell you, that's about culture. You see, a female Jewish woman, when she's going to get married, the bride would come along, this fiancé would come along and say, I'm going to give you a gift. And that gift would be usually a headband with 10 silver coins or gold coins. And they would cherish those 10 coins. Now, those 10 coins down the road, if something that they get married, something would happen to him, she would have those 10 coins to live off of for a while. It's kind of that I'm going to take care of you even if something happens to me. But there was also a responsibility. It was her responsibility to make sure she didn't lose any of those coins. How many of you ladies out there that had been married when you first got that engagement ring did this all the time, checking, looking, making sure you didn't lose it, checking, looking. And you know, many times Carla would say, look, I lost a stone. I'm like, I can't see that. But she did. She knew. She lost one. The groom would say, you must be irresponsible. It's the greatest gift that I've given to anyone, and you've lost it. So how could I trust you with all myself and everything I'm bringing into this marriage? How could I trust you if you can't take care of this one headband that is very, very important to me? I'm giving it as a gift to you. But she looks for it, and she looks for it, and she doesn't quit and give up. She looks for it, and when she finds it, she gets excited because she's already told all her lady friends, I've lost something. And then they celebrate it because they know that could have been the end of that marriage before it even started. We are like that lost coin. And Christ found you. Amen. There are more lost coins out there. There are more lost coins out there. And then we move into the third one, which is the famous, the prodigal son. Man had two sons, and one of them decided he was going to say, "Dad, give me all that that you need to give to me." Kind of selfish in a way, wasn't it? I want my inheritance now. I want it right now. Dad gives it to him, and he goes off, and the Bible says he went off into a distant, listen to me now, he goes off into a distant country. When people wanted to start living in sin, they'll go further away from their family, and they'll step far from the church. Because they know that it's wrong, and they know that they're not living right before God. Now this man knew Christ. This young man knew about God. But he decided he wanted to go out and live the way that he wanted to live. There is a danger when you take God's spot. You will never be the father, even though us men have roles as father, but we will never be the father. We have a hard enough time raising our own, let alone all the ones in the world. And God is good at parenting. Been doing it from day one with Adam and Eve. And he's been good at what he does. And people want to take him out of the schools. They want to take him out of they want to take him out of the churches. They want to take him out of everything, and they want to get rid of this book real bad. Because this book convicts. Not because I want it to, it's just because it does. It is the truth. Whether you believe it or not, it is the truth. And it convicts lifestyles. It convicts. And this young man decided he wanted to go out and take everything that his father gave to him, and the Bible said that he went out and he lived in an ungodly manner. And a famine came, and his money didn't last as long as he thought it would. And he comes up short on paying his rent and all that stuff, and he ends up working in a pig farm. Now, we'll tell you about the Jewish. A pig place is not where Jewish people are supposed to be. It is at this time, it is considered an unclean animal. It is an unclean animal, and Jewish people will not eat pork. They will not eat anything with pigs and swine. They will not do it. The Old Testament said that. If you're a Christian and you are living a lifestyle like this, I'm telling you, you will end. Your end will not be as what you think it will be. You will be in the worst places you never said you was going to be. And you will be in a pig pen. In the meantime, his father is at home. He never chased him down. Although you see a chasing with the shepherd and the lambs. There's a time when sometimes we go out and we try to help family members. We try to help church members. But then you got to step back. And there's other times where it's like the coin. It gets lost and you got to put some work and effort in it. This time, here he is. He's stepping back. He's staying home because his son chose to leave. He didn't get lost. He chose to leave. And he's living out there and he's doing his thing, and now he finds himself in the pig pen. You ever been on a pig farm? You don't even have to know you're there. You can smell it before you get there. I believe about everything this guy did went south as soon as he left his father. You know that's what happens when we rebel against God, right? Right? So he's in there and he's hungry. And he's broken. I want to say, where's all of his party buddies? I always say this. The bar has no friends. It just has something, they all have something in common. They all like to drink and their acquaintances, but that's it. Very few will attend each other's funerals. Most of them never know where the other one lives. They just meet down at the bar. Younger people just meet down at clubs or have home parties. And when the individual that has them all runs out of money, they just go to another place. And this young man is broken in his pocket, his heart, and his life. And the stomach says, "Feed me, I'm hungry." He says in verse 18, he says, he's speaking to himself. He says, "I'll get up and go to my father and say to him." Now, he's got the first thing right. I'm going to get up. If you waller in your sin and you waller in that mud, you'll just keep wallering in it. Because you may get out of it for a moment, but this is the thing. If you don't completely go back to the Father, you'll be like a pig. You can clean them and wash them, but they always go where? Back to the mud. They always go back to the pig pen. Because that's what pigs do. They love to waller in the mud. So just apologizing for what you do is not going to fix it. You need to turn from it and walk away from it. Get out of it. Get up and get out of it. And yeah, you're going to lose some people down there. Because if you walk away from the family, you're really walking away from your family. And you're walking to our pig pen. You think you got these friends. You don't. And when you wake up and you decide, "I'm going to get this thing right," you can't have both. You got to turn. You got to walk away. But when you walk back, you're going to have to face the music. And the first thing you have to get right is get right with Him. And He says, "I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to say to Him." He knows who He has to speak to. Did you get that? He's just not going to go back, think everything's going to be the same as it was. But He's going to go back to His Father, and He's going to say, "I have sinned." We must take responsibility of saying, "I have sinned." And not just that I have sinned, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. This is the scripture verse that says this young man is a believer. He knows who God is. He was raised in a godly family. And he knows it. He says, "I've sinned. I've sinned against my Father and I've sinned against heaven." What he's saying is, "I know about God and I know He saw it all. And I'm a mess. And I can't fix it, but I know who can." He says, "I'm no longer worthy." He says, "This woman says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers." That's what he's saying. He said, "This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to go back home, talk to my father. I'm going to say, I'm no longer to be called one of your son. I'm no longer can be your son. Make me like one of the workers." So he got up and he went to his father. Could you imagine the walk that from the pig pen back to the home? Could you imagine that walk, what's going on in his heart? "What did I do? Why did I do this?" The walk of a million questions. Yeah? Some of us have been there. Amen? Come on now, I'm not the only one. Amen? All right. So you walk back. So he got up and he walks back to his father. He's walking home. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Let me just tell you, God is waiting for you more than you are wanting to come home. God loves you and he has compassion. He has compassion for his son. And his son sees his father and his father sees him. And his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him. So the father runs and sees his son. He's been looking every day, waiting for him to return home. Not going after him because he knows he already spoke into his son's life. He's already worked some things in his son's life, but he can only do so much. And he chooses to run. Listen, there's a lot of daughters out there doing the same thing. Let me tell you, there's a lot of 50-year-olds out there doing it. Don't think it's just for 20-year-olds. There's a lot of 50-year-olds doing it. people running and walking away from the Lord. It only ends up in a mess. But his father runs to him. It's what the scripture says. If you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. That's what the scripture, that's experiencing the scripture. And what it means is just, and when you draw closer to the Lord, I'm telling you, when you draw closer to the Lord, your stuff will be more revealed. But yet the light of God will continue to shine even brighter than that. It's almost like you can't even really take it. But God gives you the strength to be able to take it. And he threw his arms around him. Probably the last hug he's got was back in that home that was real. Probably the last moment that he really had that experience what true love was when he was back home. The world will tell you they love you. People will tell you they love you when they want something. And then his son said to him, you see, his father ran first, but the son spoke first. Sometimes we're waiting for God to speak to us when he's right in front of us and he's waiting for us. He's done his part. He wants to hear from you. And he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Isn't this exactly what he said when he was in the pig pen? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer to be called your son. Let me work for you as a hired hand. He did just that. Probably the first time he said he was going to do something, he actually did it in a long, long time. And then the truth works, amen? To be honest, have honesty in you, in yourself and in your words, it works. And he's speaking. And you know that there are tears filled in this reunion. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And now there's that moment. He said nothing after that. He just, I've said what I said. I don't know how my father is going to react. And his father reacts in an awesome way. But the father told his servants. The father turns and looks at the servants. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes actions are bigger than words. This is what he said. He says, but the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put her on a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. He did not talk to his son. He talked to the servant. The servants, now what are they going to do? They're servants. They're going to do exactly what the father said. What the boss said. And they're going to go and get the best robe in the house. Now who do you think has the best robe in the house? The father does. The father has the best robe in the house. He says, I want you to put on a signet ring, which is a sign of authority. Let me tell you, that son is watching. He's like, what is going on here? I left everything. I'm getting his clothes. I'm getting a signet ring, which means authority. And he says, also some sandals. He's barefooted. He done lost his shoes. The sandals was a sign of luxury back then. Not everybody had sandals. And he got sandals. Then, he says, then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it and let's celebrate with a feast. We're going to celebrate. Now remember, Let's go back. Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes were all together, and with these sinners and everybody, and they were complaining, why are all these sinners together? They were getting ready to eat. That's the custom. When you eat together, you're accepted in the group. Now he's being accepted back into a family. So, let me read this. But the father told his servant, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Let's celebrate. My son is home. My son is back. Let me tell you something. You can come to church every Sunday. You can read this Bible. But if your life don't match up, you're a wandering sheep. I'm not saying you lost your salvation. I'm just saying you're wandering. You're out there. You're playing around. You're not being able to serve the Lord. You're not effective to the Lord. The things that you do fall flat in front of you. I don't care what you do. If your heart's not right with God, nothing's right. Amen? Nothing's right. You can fake everybody. You can put a wool over everybody's eyes. You can look like you've got everything and everything is perfect. But if it's not right before God, it's not right. Now, this prodigal son, prodigal really means wild living. It really means wasting, wasteful. He took everything and he wasted it. He took everything that he was given and he just flat out wasted it. And when you waste something, you can't get it back. You can't. Now the older brother steps in and he hears, what's going on over there? There's a big party going on. What's going on? He gets upset. He finds out his brother's back and he's angry. He's angry. Verse 28, then he became angry, his brother, his older brother. And he didn't want to go in. I'm not going into that party. So his father came out and pleaded with him. Let me tell you something about parents. If we're here, we all have had a parent, but some of our parents have passed on and such. But let me tell you something. Siblings may argue, but so many times the parents are caught in the middle. We are not supposed to have a favorite one, right, hon? We don't have a favorite one. We're supposed to love all of them. You have children, you got to love all of them. When they're doing great and when they're not doing great, right? When they mess up and one's doing like super good always and the other one's not. Sometimes one takes a little more love than the other, but you don't have to show it, but you got to do it in a different way. But it doesn't mean you love them differently. But your kids sometimes think so. And he steps out. The father steps out. Come on, man, what's going on? I got my family back. And then he became angry and he didn't want to go in. And his father came out and he pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look. Now, so he wants to reply to his father in a respectful way, but he's going to say it like this. Look, I have been slaving many years for you. Yet you have never given me a goat so that I can celebrate with my friends. There's a little jealousy sometimes in siblings. That's the way it is. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. That's all this older son saw. He said, yeah. So I'm sure he may have had some contact. Maybe the older son did. He knew. He heard the stories. He had some of the friends going from one city to the next. He's going out there doing his thing. But the older son, he's not happy with this. He doesn't even say my brother. He says your son. It's like the brother disowned him already. And this whole thing ends with the father speaking. Son, he calls him son because he is his son. Amen? He's not showing favoritism. But he's got to teach his older son a lesson here real quick. Son, he said to him, you're always with me. What are you saying? He's like, You're faithful. I got you right here, yes. And everything I have is yours. The son never grasped that. He never grasped it. He always said, I'm working for you. Here's the thing. I think we would grasp it more if we were saying, Lord, I'm not working for you, but I'm working with you. I'm working with you. Doesn't that kind of bring it more better, more closer? That we're not that we're even with God, but we're working together. He says, everything that I have is yours. What are you saying, son? We work together on this. You're not working for me. We work together. So what I have, you have. Because we had, then he says, but we had to celebrate and rejoice. Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What he's saying is, I know what your brother did. I know what he did. But he's home. He's a part of me. And I'm a part of him. And your family, and you're part of this too. And so he's restored. He's restored. You know how many prodigals are out there right now? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of prodigals. Let me tell you, this is my synopsis of the whole thing. America would not be in the situation it is in today if we didn't have so many prodigals. Prodigals take a lot of time for praying. We pray a lot for prodigals. We spend a lot of time with them. I love prodigals. I do. I pray for them. I got a lot on my board in my office. But let me just tell you the warning. Quit saying, oh, I'm saved. I can do what I want. Quit thinking because you're saved, you have a relationship with Christ, you can go out here and tinker around over here and mess around over here and, oh, Jesus is going to forgive me. Let me tell you, you got to remember the rest of Scripture. God disciplines those whom he loves. You want to live in a pig pen? Then you're going to live and you're going to receive all the things that a pig gets. Just the way that it is. You want to go out and get drunk and do those kind of things? Listen, God's not going to take the headache away. That's just the consequences of doing it. It's called a hangover. And then people get serious, and then people get alcohol poisoning, they get a drug, they overdose. People do something, marriage gets in trouble. They do something, they lose a job because they've stole or something. Let me just remind you, if it's not yours, it's not yours. We have a system in this country. I know somebody right now just got arrested for stealing. If it's not yours, it's not yours. Amen? I mean, just not yours. There's consequences to it. And there's consequences of being a believer of Christ. And if we don't try to do our best and we don't just be that Christian God wants us to be, we're going to reap the consequences of drifting away from God. And when you drift away from God, that light becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as you drift off and drift off until you can't see it. And then you're what we call lost at sea. And some of us spiritually are lost at sea. Some of us are living in a pig pen. And you cannot be blessed in the pig pen. Now let me tell you this. When the son met with the father, ended up back home, was given the robe, was given the ring, was given the sandals, and they threw the big feast and they had the big dinner. When we return back to Christ the way we're supposed to, the blessings will start to flow again. If your blessing flow has shrunk up, let me tell you, get back right and get back with Christ and return to him, and the blessings will start to flow once again. As I close with this, some of us have secrets. We have secrets. Sometimes they're personal secrets, sometimes they're family secrets, sometimes they're marriage secrets, some whatever. You can keep them to yourself, you can keep them to your group, you can keep them in your family, you can keep them in your marriage, you can keep them whatever, but if you don't let God in it, it will become a very big obstacle in your life. Because our secrets are usually things that have happened that are not good. The prodigal highway is filled with people. Today, there are people heading toward the pig pen. I hate that. But I'm also excited because there are people getting up and heading out of the pig pen. They're on the highway and they're passing one another. And there's fathers that are crying on one side and mothers crying on the other as they're going down toward the pig pen. And then there's other parents that are saying, oh my, thank you God, they're coming back and they're coming home. It's the way it's going to be while we're on this earth. So I want to have you all stand here at this moment where we just kind of have a time of reflection.